in 1821 said, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm America and bury all America's glory in profound obscurity." Daniel Webster, 1821. John Quincy Adams, "The general principle on which our fathers achieved independence are the general principles of Christianity." William O. Douglas, Supreme Court Justice, 1932, "We are a religious people whose institutions presuppose a supreme being." Abraham Lincoln, after the Battle of Bull Run, "It is fit and becoming in all people at all times to acknowledge and revere the supreme government of God, to bow in humble submission to his chastisement, to confess and deplore their sins and transgressions in the full conviction that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Abraham Lincoln learned to read in a log cabin in Illinois from a Bible. And Abraham Lincoln said what Scripture says in Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." He goes on to say, Lincoln does, "and to pray with all fervency and contrition for the pardon of our past offenses and for a blessing upon present and prospective action in trying to preserve the Union." Finally, a quote from the U.S. Supreme Court in 1892, and I'll stop with this, there are more. The Supreme Court said in 1892, "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based on the teachings of the Redeemer of all mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian." The Supreme Court in 1892. How far have we drifted? My message today is going to become a scripture reading, and I'm going to read several passages, and I want you to turn with me. And these are passages about our response to government. The first is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. After we do these scriptures, we will celebrate our salvation as we partake of communion. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. "As Christian citizens of a once Christian nation, we are told that we are to pray diligently." 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul writes, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people." Verse 2. "Pray for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." The Lord wants people to be saved. He wants people to confess their sin and call upon Him. The Lord wants Christian citizens to pray for those in authority over them. We're to pray diligently. We have examples in the Bible: Daniel, Nehemiah, Esther, others involved in appealing to the Lord for His help. I want us now to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, towards the back of your New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2, Verse 13. Christians are told not only to pray for their government and their leaders, we're also told to perform our duties as citizens. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Submit yourselves, Peter writes, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's servants. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Christians are to pray for their leaders. Christians are to perform their duties as Christian citizens. Our citizenship first is in heaven, but our citizenship in America, we are told to be good citizens. In our country, it is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We have the privilege of voting. We have the privilege of running for office if we choose to. We have the privilege of assembly and organizing and being involved to the point that we want to in our political process. We're to pray. We're to perform our duties as citizens. We can even choose in our country to be a part of the military, as numerous people in this room have done in the past. We can serve our country to that extent. Last night, I was with part of my family at Kimberling City on Table Rock Lake, and we watched a most dynamic fireworks show last night. And as I was watching all those fireworks, and Table Rock Lake, as we looked from the shores, was just lit up with boats everywhere and their lights on after dark watching the fireworks, people on the banks everywhere around Kimberling City. And I was thinking again of all the people like those who signed the Declaration and all that have served in the military through all the years who gave their life so that I could sit peacefully and comfortably sipping a drink in my lawn chair on the shores of Table Rock Lake, watching a beautiful fireworks celebration. And how many people died so I could do that, including, as Mark was reading, people who signed the Declaration of Independence. I ran across this. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young soldier saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears, how many soldiers were shot down, how many died at sea, how many foxholes were soldiers' graves. No, my freedom is not free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play, and I felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen, when a flag had covered a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of mothers and of wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves at Arlington. No, my freedom is not free. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 13, and this is where we'll complete our scripture reading. We are to pray diligently as Christian citizens. We are to perform our duties as Christian citizens. And in Romans 13, let's begin at verse 1. we discover this. Peter wrote to honor the authorities God has placed over us. Paul writes this. By the way, even when we can't honor the individual, we can honor the office. Romans 13:1, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of Christian conscience. We are to pray diligently, we are to perform our duties, and yes, in verses 6 and 7, we're to pay our dollars. Look, Romans 13, 6 and 7. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And in our country, if we think something's unfair, we can pray and we can try to do something about it. Isn't it interesting that Paul said pay taxes after Jesus said render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's? And that brings us to the communion table and to the end of our scripture reading. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. The Lord created us. The Lord died for us. The Lord is coming again for us. The Lord is preparing a place in heaven for us. We owe the Lord our breath, our heartbeat. We owe the Lord our physical life. We owe the Lord our spiritual life. We owe everything to the Lord for our future destiny, our eternal destiny. We owe Jesus everything, who gave himself for us and our sin to pay for our guilt, to deliver us from death. We owe the Lord everything. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Render unto God what is God's. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we remember your words and we thank you for our Bibles that record your word. And as we celebrate your table and we celebrate this communion, we remember, Lord Jesus, that you said, render unto God what is God's. Lord, we owe you everything for our existence. And we owe you everything for eternity in heaven with you. Render unto you what is yours. You have made us. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. It is you that has made us and not we ourselves. Lord, we owe you everything. And so today, as we celebrate our country on its 240th birthday, we thank you for America and for all those who in our country, throughout its history, have placed their faith in you and prayed to you and performed their duties, even to the point of death for our country. Lord, we thank you that our citizenship today is not only in America, but it is in heaven. We owe you our very existence. We owe you our eternal destiny with you in heaven. We owe everything to you. Lord Jesus, you said, render unto God what is God's. And so in this hour of communion with you, we confess our sins to you and we call upon you, thanking you for saving us, Draw us close to you. Make us to be the Christian people and the Christian citizens that you've commanded us to be. Lord, help us to walk with you and to talk with you, to love you and to enjoy you, to worship you and serve you in whatever time we have left on this earth. Lord, we're so grateful that our home is in heaven and that our earthly home is in America. Thank you, Lord. May all of us in this room, as we partake of your communion, because you've commanded us to do this in remembrance of you, as we partake of your communion, Lord, help us to truly worship you and be grateful to you and rejoice in you for all that you've done for us as Americans and even more as Christians. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Let's all stand, please. Number 257, near the cross. 257, please.
Jesus keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the till shall find rest beyond the river.
Thank you. Please be seated.